Please forgive me for being a little late getting started this morning, but I think it's with very good reason. It's been a joy to welcome a number of visitors, to welcome you personally, but I also welcome you as a congregation this morning. And it really is good to have you, and we trust that you will know God's blessing as you join with us this morning as well. I just want to mention a couple of items before we go on. By way of notices, most things are included on the sheet, and I would urge you to make sure that you read it. Some of you who come every week, you're more familiar with the first opening paragraphs on the front page, but there are other things there as well that are new every week. I do urge you to make sure that you read those as well. They're there to try and contribute to your benefit. Otherwise, I want to mention that there are a few new items on the table side. There are still old things that are still very useful. If you haven't used them, please do think about it sometime soon. But there is the Tear Fund prayer link notice for the month. Very short items from around the world to encourage us and inform us for our prayers for the rest of the world. There is the Glasgow Free Church Presbytery newsletter for this month. Again, part of our church encourage you to get up to speed a little bit with what's going on elsewhere. And then there is the youth magazine, Free. And again, do make use of that as much as you possibly can on the table at the side. And I was looking around for Del. I think he was expecting to still be around. He might be able to correct me on that. I thought he was going to be here. But for those of you who would like to remember birthdays, and you should for the children, Lara's birthday is on Tuesday this week, and then Alani's is on Monday the following week. So even if you can't pass on greetings, at least remember them in your prayers. Lara, due to be 3 on Tuesday, and Alani, her first birthday, next Monday, not tomorrow, but the next week. These things, too, are done in God's sight, the things that we speak of. But we do come to worship our God this morning. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let us turn to his praise in Psalm 125. You'll find it on page 170. Page 125. On page 170, if you're tracking the tunes, it is going to be different. It's a misprint there. Psalm 125, singing the whole psalm. All those who trust the Lord like Zion are secure, which never can be moved, but always will endure. So we sing the whole psalm, standing to sing, and remain standing for prayer afterwards. Let us praise God.
All those who trust the Lord, like Zion, are secure, which never can be moved, but always will endure. Just as a mountain
the Lord, the God.
us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, how good it is that in your grace you bestow such assurance upon us, that on account of our turning in trust unto you, as we would seek to enter into faith and hold on to it, that you do assure us of your security, of your protection, of your salvation. But, O Lord, how much then we need to ensure that this is our seeking. We give thanks, O Lord, that your word reveals to us that you have your people appointed, that you do a work by your Spirit in the hearts of men and women and young folk. But we hear also your word that urges upon us our need to turn unto you, to respond to your great desire after us, that we will indeed cast our trust on you alone, in Christ Jesus. We do pray, O Lord, that each one of us present this morning will have this seeking heart, that according to your word, each one will find and will know you and come to know you and grow in the knowledge of you in Christ Jesus. We give thanks for him, O Lord, that in the eternal purposes of God, he was to be sent in due time, that he was to come with a heart willing to do your will, to take delight in it, even to the death of the cursed cross, that he might take sin upon him, be judged for it in our place. We give thanks that this morning you set before us also the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, to ensure our remembrance of these things and to strengthen us upon our walk in Christ. We do pray, O Lord, that in all of these things, as we hear and as we consider, as we set our lives to your service by the enabling of your Spirit, we will indeed be seeking over all things the glory of your name, and that all that we do therefore would be truly in worship this morning to the honor of your name amongst men, amongst ourselves, and that through us also you would do a good work into the lives of many around us. Build up your church on this your day, we pray, committing to you also those who are under great pressure and suffering for the sake of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would uphold them, and they would know their fellowship with others who are seeking your grace upon them on their behalf. And so all the more we give thanks, O Lord, that Christ Jesus himself is our great high priest, ever making intercession for us, that we might be drawn into your presence, made holy, made righteous, because of what he has done. We offer our praise, we offer our thanks. We ask too, Lord, that you would continue to watch over and guide us. that you would accept us with cleansing, with forgiveness, only through Christ Jesus, the name that you love. May it be also the name that we love, above every name, and all for his sake. Amen. Let us turn to our scripture readings this morning. Reading first in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 30. We need to start our reading at verse 8. We'll read through to verse 26. Isaiah chapter 30, 3-0. In the Red Bible, it's on page 629. Now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of a potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, and as a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your crying. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. You will also defile the covering of your images of silver, and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with a shovel and fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. And just so far, our reading of that portion of God's word. And then would you also turn over with me, reading a few verses at the beginning of John's Gospel, chapter 14. Through Isaiah, the Lord spoke a promise of guidance and setting out the way for his people. John chapter 14, the first few verses, Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." May God bless his word to us, each one this morning, and that blessing would be to his praise. Children, I mentioned especially in Isaiah chapter 30, there was mention of the way. I hope you noticed in John 14, it also talks about the way. Jesus says, "I am the way." It's good to know the way that you're going. I want to ask you, do you know where you want to go? Do you know what this is? Gideon. It's a search. What are you looking for when you're searching? You've got to get the person to the, I think that's a cliff, looks like a waterfall, doesn't it? So how do you get there? Do you jump from there to there? How do you get there? You know what this kind of thing is for? Yes, maybe. You've got to find the way. You've got to find the, what other word can you think of? The path, that's a nice word, I like that one. The path. Which path do you find? Now, where do you want to go on this? Do you want to go in here? Who wants to go in there? Lisa, is that where you want to go? Where do you want to go? Anyone know? Where do you want to go on this? What are you looking to get to? Yes, Mike. The cliff just up there. Now, if you are wanting to find the right path on all of this, how do you know what's right until you know where you go? You need to have somewhere that you're going to on these paths, okay? How would you start that, Peter? Where would you start? Would you start down here? Would you start here? Yes, you'd start here. That tells you where you're supposed to start. But there's a bit of a problem. There's three of them there. Which one are you going to take, huh? But all of that depends on where you want to go, doesn't it? Have you ever done this? I've done it before. I used to do it, and I did it with this one. I know which path you go on. How do you think I knew then? I worked it out. I did follow it, yeah. Any other ideas? Gideon. You done this before? Yeah? Yeah, that's what I did. You know, that tells us something. If you know where you're supposed to be, you can work backwards, follow the path, and say, well, this is where I should start. This is the right choice, not A, not B, but C. You try it out afterwards if you have time, and you'll find C is the one to go. But I know that because I know where I want to be. If that was all blocked off, let's put that in front of it. What have you got? Squiggly lines. What's the point in choosing any of them? You don't know where you want to go. Right? But now we know where we want to go. Can you see what I'm getting at? That's what Jesus is talking about, isn't it? Jesus says, not just, I'm the way, walk on me, but he says, I'm the way to go somewhere, to go to the Father. Who does he mean by the Father? Andrew. God. God the Father. You want to go to God? You want to God to love you? You want to be with God? Yes, Peter? You want to? It's good. Very good. Well, Jesus says, I can tell you the way there. So if someone else says, well, this is the way, not Jesus, go some other way, what are you going to say to them? Jesus says, I'm the right choice. If you carry on with me, I will take you to the Father. You come with me, not with someone else. Try and remember that. Do you want to be with God? Do you want to be with Jesus? I will take you, he says, to be with me where I am. God and the Father, Jesus and the Father are going to be in the same place. Do you want to be there? Go with him. We're going to talk some more about that this morning as well. And I hope that you'll be able to listen. Don't just start and say, well, I'm going to start at A, and whatever else happens, I'm going to get there. What are you going to do? You're going to end up crossing, going off onto another line. You're not going to stay on the same path. That's you saying, I want to go my way. There's a lot of people around you are going to say that, and they're going to say to you, you come my way, their way. Jesus says, I am the way. Not other, one of the other ways, not some way, but the way. Try and remember that. I think Psalm 37 talks about the same sort of thing. Psalm 37, we're going to sing together. Turn to page 252. This is about a man who was looking at the different ways that people go, and especially looking and seeing how good the way seemed to be for people who didn't love God and serve God. But he stopped to realize that that wasn't the whole story. And he realized that while one way might look good so far, yet the only thing that tells you whether the way is good and right is, does it get to the end, the right place that you need to be? Psalm 37, page 252, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 to 7, that's six stanzas. For evildoers, fret thou not thyself unquietly. Don't be all bothered in your insides about how well the other people seem to be. Do not thou envy bear to those that work iniquity. For even like to the grass, soon be cut down shall they. Like the green and tender herb, they wither shall away. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell. And verily, truly, have food. So on through to the verse marked 7. Rest in the Lord. Psalm 37. Let's stand again to sing.
For oh.
Back to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus' words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I was looking at this. My mind went to some business speak that we come across. And it seems to me that very often business speak likes to take the simple things of life and make them an obscure formula for success. Because really, whatever you're doing, whatever you do in life from the moment that you're toddling about or even before that, whatever you're doing, you really do need to answer two basic questions. Business speak takes them and treats them as something profound. But these are very basic questions. Where do you want to go? And how do you get there? You cook in the kitchen. You say, "I want an apple pie for supper." So you work out the ingredients, you do your preparation, you bake, work out your baking time, so it's ready for supper. You're in the workshop and you say, "I want a bookcase for that little corner in the sitting room." So you do your measuring, you get your wood, you do the cutting, you fix, and you put it in position. "I want to become CEO of my firm." So you study, you work, you do things best not said, and you succeed. And that's just what you're doing. You say, "I want this. This is how I go about getting there." And so too, Jesus essentially levels these questions at us. As we read these words, he levels these questions at us as well, saying, "Where are you going? And how are you getting there?" Yes, he is writing in this case, speaking rather, to the disciples. And there is, in their case, something of an assumption that they wanted to get to the Father. And by that, he was meaning, we might put it another way, in other words, he was meaning an entry into the kingdom of God and of heaven. Excuse me. But that is why it is a question. He is telling us something, but it sets out and questions every one of us as you see that. Just as the advertisements on the tube or wherever you go, they're essentially asking you a question. What do you make of this? Here is a statement by Jesus, but it sets a question in front of you and in front of me. And the question is it a safe assumption for you that you do want to go to the Father, that you do want to enter the kingdom of God and of heaven? And that's what I therefore want to bring to you this morning. In the light of what Jesus has said here, where do you want to be? And how are you going to get there? The same two questions. First, where do you want to be? And do realize that what we're talking about here is the genuinely final destination. There's no midlife career changes involved here. Once you are there where you want to go, you have to live with it forever. No changes midstream once you're there. Jesus actually only raised one possibility with his disciples. He's talking about those who want to come to the Father. But he does so with a very clear implication that other roads lead to something else. There is a choice set in front of us here. How are we going to respond? How are you going to respond? What he is offering to us in front here is to come to the Father, his Father, who may also in Jesus be our Father. And this is God. And then he also says in the second part of verse 3 concerning himself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is what he is offering. And I ask you, if that's what you want, is that where you want to be? To come to the Father, to be in the presence of the Father, God himself. Do you want to be in the presence of Jesus? That where I am, there you may be also. Is that where you want to be? If you were to ask anyone today, practically anyone, where they want their loved one to be, who has just died, what would they say? Just last week I got notice information from my father that my uncle, he was in his 80s, that he had passed away. But I think what was especially difficult was what I read, what was said. Now, it's not for me to judge, but I am indeed very unsure about his destination. Looking on the basis of his choices, avowed choices, ones he spoke of, his way of life, his words regarding Jesus. These are very hard things. But what I saw, I'm not sure that I can fit with the things that were desired for him. If he was in peace, I wonder if he was, if he is. And these are very hard things, but it's Jesus who talks about them and sets them out in front. What he is saying is that there is a place that is marked by his own presence and the presence of his Father. There is a place that is to be marked in that way. You don't really need to know anything else about it except that Jesus and the Father and indeed the Holy Spirit that is where they are. That's what he's talking about. And I don't really want to, right at the moment, to go into other possibilities. We do need to do that in due course. But I simply ask you, do you want to be with God? When? Well, Jesus speaks first of all of when he returns. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When he comes to take his people to be with him. In the first chapter of Acts, in verse 11, the angel said to the disciples, they were looking up as Jesus had gone, and the angel said to them, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This is when he's going to return. That where I am, there you may be also. But it's not just that. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable of a rich man who is doing very well. And it comes to the climax when the Lord says to him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. For some, even in this room, we don't know. It may be that you will still be here when Jesus does come as he left. For some, this is probably what we expect most, your soul will be required of you one night. But where will you be? Do you want to be with God? And I'm not setting out here scare tactics. Because what is set out here is the potential for the very, very, very greatest joy. What's Jesus saying? He says, if you come this way, you can be living with Jesus, living with God, without any mid-course changes. Assured. Potential for the highest of joys. It was Paul who wrote to the Philippians, and he says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Highest of joy. Is not scary, or is it? He goes on a few verses later and he says, I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Look what is set in front of you. Do you want to be with God? Whenever Jesus comes for you, speak with him. Will you go with him? It's just the question, where do you want to be? How to get there? And the one that Jesus deals with is through me. No man comes to the Father except through me. You want to be with the Father, you must go through him. He doesn't say, well, here's an idea. Why don't you try coming to God the Father through me? Try it out. He doesn't say, well, if you don't like coming through me, try Hinduism. Did you notice, you talk to any religion, all want to be with God. This is the God. Israel was taught, the Lord, the covenant Lord, is God. And this is the covenant Lord who comes amongst men in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is God. And everyone wants God. He says, this is the way. Through me. You want to go somewhere? You say, I want this destination in my life? You work out how to get there. I wanted, at the end of last Sunday, I wanted to have a sermon and a service, or at least two, ready for today. Monday, there were two biggish things came up. They were not sermon preparation. Tuesday, one really big thing, it wasn't sermon preparation. Wednesday was better, but there were some odd interruptions. Quite unexpected. Some were planned, some certainly weren't. Now, that's not a reference to my family coming to join us. There were other things, quite other things that were odd. Thursday, there were more unexpected, unplanned interruptions. All of them good in their own way, needing to be done. But they were not sermon preparation. Friday was better. Doesn't look very good, does it? If I say I need this, what am I allowing to knock me off? What about catching a plane? There's all sorts of ways you might miss it. Everything in life is about discovering how to get somewhere and then doing it or not, and you won't get there. It's so simple, isn't it? I'm stating the obvious. You want to be a doctor, you don't usually choose anything but science and medicine to study. So it is here. And consider the consequences. Whatever else you do, you may be able to make a midlife change and get on course again. We did miss a plane once, but we got seats on the next one. Consider the consequences in this question. You want to get somewhere. How are you going to get there? Don't miss that one. It's not missable. There's no later flight. Do you know when your time is to come? You've heard of people who will fall asleep on the train and they miss their station. They're asleep. They're not ready. Do you know when your time is to come? When Jesus is to return to take you, if you're ready? Or if your soul is ready on the night that it's required of you? And you know, there is absolutely no doubt needed in this. You don't need to fit any questions or doubt into the overall picture. This is so clear and straightforward. You want to go to the Father. This is the way. Through Jesus. And the meaning for that is to be found in verse 1. It is about belief. We're discussing this on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting. It's quite a good place to be, by the way. It's about obedience, about trust. You trust in him, you live your life accordingly. It's not just, yes, I believe that that's true. If your heart is troubled, it will be transformed, believing in God and believing in Jesus. It makes a difference. You know he is true, and you operate your life on his terms. That's what it means to believe in him. He is the way. It is true. And life is here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And children, these are three key words. Please learn them. It's so easy to learn. I even learned it in Xhosa when I was in Africa. It's so easy to learn. I am the way, Jesus said. The truth and the life. Get a hold of that. In other words, if you want to live with Christ and God, then prove it. Choose the life pattern that leads in that direction. Choose the life that is suitable for that. Get on the right road now. It does involve different approaches to various things, just as other choices that you make. They involve changes. And you go along with those. Go along with this because it is for your eternal salvation. What is the most important thing for you in life today? this short present life that you have, or its eternal continuation? Where do you want to be? How are you going to go about getting there? All that you'd love want to be with the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is only one way. It is a way of joy, the highest of joys, and also for the prospect of the joy in front of you. I'm just going to try and draw this to a close. Let me put it like this. Wherever you want to be, you will be there by a seamless transition. Death is just the door, and you carry on where you are before death, before Jesus coming again, should that be first. You go with Jesus, you want to go with him then, you must go with him now. You want to go anywhere else instead? Take your pick. There's plenty around. Anywhere but the Father. And that is what we call hell. You don't have to change a thing. And you'll go there. Change nothing is the perfect route to go anywhere but the Father. Not to be with the Father then, I dare not imagine it. The Bible speaks of it. And the Bible tells us that then people will understand God's goodness, because that will be completely missing. So I urge you this morning, and this goes for everyone who professes to love the Lord Jesus too, to look at your life and say, how am I getting there? Do not choose to change nothing. We are all to be conforming to the image of the Son. That's what it is to believe in him, to live for him, to come through him. I'm aware that there's a great deal more that you know about these things, that you could know about these things. There's a great deal more you need to know about these things. But this is where it starts. On that maze that the children were puzzled by, if you're going to get to the end, you have to start in the right place. Are you going through Jesus? Are you going through Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amazing words. Think on them. Treasure them. Let them make a difference. Because no one comes to the Father except through me. And God grant his blessing on his word this morning. Let us pray together. Lord our God, cause each one of us here this morning to meditate deeply and fully on your great love and your great compassion, mercy, grace. Even in that you have just revealed such things to us in your word. but that you also reveal them to us in Christ himself. God with us. The Word become flesh. Oh Lord, that you have reached out to us. That we would understand the magnitude of this issue. We would understand your desire after your people. But also that we would have a love in return. That every way that we go will be determined by that love. That we will choose only what pleases you. That our lives would be living sacrifices that we rejoice to bring in thanksgiving and in praise. May your name be lifted up amongst us this morning, we pray. And that we would hold fast, each one, to the Lord Jesus Christ in the days that come. For his sake we pray, in his name, that we might be present before you. Amen. May we return praise to God for his most precious gift. In Psalm 84, that it is indeed through Christ possible that men might come and dwell with the Holy God. Psalm 84, turn to page 112. We will sing the verses marked 1 to 7. That's the first three stanzas, half the psalm. How delightful are your dwellings, O Almighty Lord, to me. For your courts my soul is yearning, longing. In your house I long to be. Psalm 84, verses 1 through to 7. Let us stand to sing.
How delightful are your dwellings, O Almighty Lord, to me. For your cause my soul is yearning, in your house I long to be.
The blessing of the Lord's Supper before us this morning, and I would read the institution of the Lord's Supper as presented to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Reading from verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. I want to just very briefly set out the key elements concerning the supper this morning in connection with what we have read already in John, in particular, John's Gospel. You remember there that Jesus said, You come to the Father through him. We're reminded in the Lord's Supper of the body and the blood of the Lord. The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus were given because of the wrath of God, the just and holy, righteous wrath of God against my sin, your sin. The only way by which you can escape that wrath of God against your sin is to come through Jesus, through what he has done on the cross by faith. That's a key part of what Paul is saying, that as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You are saying how central, how crucial it is that you cannot be without it. It is the only way into the presence of God for any man. Faith in Christ Jesus for what he has done. But do you realize as well what he is saying there, that you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes? See how important that remains. Have we remembered it? Has Paul remembered it? Has others remembered it? It was Jesus who said, I will come again to take you to be where I am. Paul says, remember the Lord's death until he comes. It is also about the completed journey. If we're talking about being on the way, when he comes, the journey is done. To enter into his presence. So that question again, as the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, picturing the body and the blood of our Lord, as he gave them for us, as he gave them on the cross, question comes again, are you going that way in him? That's what this is about. If you're going on that way, this is for you. It's food for the journey until he comes. but I am aware that there are some who may be doubtful. There are times, aren't there, when you go through parts of life and you wonder, am I on the way? Has my life changed as it should to be on that way? But there is an assurance here, this body and the blood of our Lord, that there is no sin that is too great for Jesus' blood to cleanse from you, except for one, that one that you grasp and hold on to. As long as you bring those before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. No sin is too great. Do come. Get new strength for the journey. You perhaps haven't had time, but I would urge you, when you finish this morning, perhaps before you get up, and children, give the mums and dads a chance to do it if you don't read it yourself, but that first page on the service sheet is to strengthen us when we do struggle. The Lord recognizes this, and that's why he gives it. It's food. But that food is also presenting to us that our only reliance must be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you do trust in him in all your weakness, the table is for you. But you must trust in him, or else it's not. This is about coming through Jesus to the Father. And as long as you're trying to go any other way, or not trying at all, this is not for you. And that is an invitation. We're glad to invite some visitors with us this morning, those who do love the Lord Jesus, who are in good standing in their own church as well. We love to have you. It's a wonderful thing to join together around the body and the blood of the Lord, that he is the head of the church that should be one. So you are invited also with our open hearts, because we know the Lord's heart is open to you as well. But there is something more that I need to say by way of welcome. I want to first of all announce that shortly we will be singing together, and if you can perhaps prepare for that, Psalm 118, because we stand to sing, and in a moment we'll all be standing for something else, and then we can just go on to sing straight from there. Psalm 118, you'll find it on page 399. We've just got the four verses there, 19 through to 25. Now, if you can please follow the instructions, I think in practice it will make things simpler, though it might sound a bit complicated. Psalm 118, verses 19 through to 25, there are four verses there. We'll sing the first verse just where we are, standing, and then during the second verse, those who are coming to the table, if you would please do so. Can I also ask that those of you who are more familiar with our arrangements can keep an eye, make sure that there are enough chairs around. We may need to put them a bit closer together, just to try and get around the table. Do care for one another as you come to the Lord's table. So that will be once we start into the second stanza, that's 20 through to the end of verse 25. That's Psalm 118, once we're standing. Prior to that, I have the great privilege of introducing and welcoming a number of new members to the congregation. Everyone that we are welcoming this morning is coming by transfer of one form or another, some from South Africa, some from North America, some from Scotland. It really is a delight to welcome you all this morning and to assure you of our desire to serve you as a congregation, but also that you will recognize your part in the building of the congregation as well. And that's what this is about, and linking together in this way. I would like to invite the folk that I do introduce to you to stand as a family. Just stand where you are. We can't come forward. I do like, if possible, that you can come forward with this. A wonderful problem. We have too many this morning. So just stand where you are, and I would like to then give a word of welcome to you as well, but especially to pray for you together. So if I could ask first, Freek and Susanne Verhoef, Anna-Marie and Christine, very warm welcome to you, and we pray that God's blessing will be on you all. We've got to know you for over a little while, and we enjoy having you around very much. That we pray that you'll be strengthened in your faith as well in days to come. Ian and Inge and Elft, Lisa and Emma. Likewise, we have enjoyed very much the months of fellowship since you first arrived, and we pray that that will continue. We hope for a long time yet, but whatever the Lord gives to us, we will enjoy very much. We do pray especially that he will bless you as you're joined with us in this fellowship. Colin and Elizabeth Reed, and is Mary there? Is she out? Mary is looking after the young ones. But again, Colin, Elizabeth, it's lovely to have you with us and for your commitment to us in this way as well as part of the congregation. We do pray that we will be able to care for you suitably again in days to come. Reynolds and Marianne de Witt and Mathijs is there as well. Is it Annemijn? Is outside? Yeah, it's lovely too. Excuse me, I'm very dry this morning. Perhaps someone could get me a glass in a minute. Again, it is very good to have you. Again, we've enjoyed some months of fellowship with you. Thank you, Kerry. And we pray that the days will come. You will know that God is blessing you in this fellowship together. And last this morning is Jaco and Belina Sulier. Again, wonderful to have you along. Good to have had your contributions thus far. And again, we pray that there will be many days to come that we can enjoy together in fellowship. And again, because of the logistics of the situation, I intend to give you all a good handshake afterwards and welcome you to the church, but we'll pass on that right at the moment. But God's blessing on you. Now, I would invite the whole congregation to stand with me as we pray together, especially for these new members. So Lord, we do commit to you these folk who are now committing themselves into this particular fellowship, this congregation and its structures. We give thanks for the times of fellowship that we have known already, and that through these times they have found that your direction is that they should commit themselves openly to this particular body, this manifestation in this place of the body of Christ. We ask, Lord, that in days ahead we will know your wisdom in the working out of this fellowship, of this coming together and committing together. We pray that the congregation as a whole will indeed minister well to one another, and especially to these new members. We ask that the children will know a special blessing through Sunday school and through the extended fellowship and the growth of the family of God of which they are a part just now. And we pray too that the folk who are committing themselves, and indeed may we remember each one of us, those who have committed themselves as members in the past, that each one would be seeking out contributions to make, to know what you have committed to our responsibility, each one individually, the part that we are to play in sustaining the body of Christ in this place. And so we pray that we will know joy, that we will know the vigor of your Spirit working through us, and that we will continue to grow, that we will know growth in ourselves, in grace, and in the knowledge of our God and of his Christ, and that we might even be blessed with seeing others drawn in to worship with us the most holy God. Do watch over and keep us then, we pray, in all that we do and that remains before us this morning, to our blessing, but above all, to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'd remain standing and we sing together Psalm 118, and through that praise that we might also come to the Lord's table.
Christian Church through many ages. We take the words known as the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. May we each say together, Amen.
Amen.
On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, taking bread, he first gave thanks. Let us give thanks for the bread and the cup together. Let us pray. We cannot speak with you or address you, O Lord, in any other way but as a gracious God. But all of these things that we know of you, Almighty God, Holy God, is that you are love and gracious, that we discover them, that we understand them for what they are. You have been so gracious in giving us your salvation, which there was no man to stand until you sent a man, one who would come amongst us, touched in every way as we are, in all our weaknesses, except without sin. And the Lord, we rejoice in that, that Christ Jesus came sinless and obedient to the very end, as he was crucified upon that cross, giving his life, giving his body, his blood, that we might in turn have life ourselves through faith in him. And so we give thanks, O Lord, that you set before us again in this vivid way the body and the blood that was poured out. We give thanks for the bread and the cup which he has given to us, that we might remember him and proclaim him, proclaim his death and its benefits. But help us also to go on in the knowledge that he is a risen Lord, that death could not hold him, and that he is coming again. Help us as we take these elements this morning, each one, to look to that day, to ready ourselves for it and for him. That in our giving thanks for your every blessing, giving thanks for this bread and this cup, that here too we might again bring honor unto you, that we might turn eyes unto you, our own and those around us. There would be an awareness again in our land of the great, majestic, gracious, loving God, manifested, the evidence set before man, in the person of Christ Jesus. You accept us now, we pray. That we do all things well. And that our hearts would be right before you. Humbled, faithful, for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Before he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread and given thanks, as we have just done. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We've spoken this morning of the way. What we do today around this table is demonstrating something of the way, that it means something to us. But this way is hard in this world. It is not a way that belongs to this world. And so we have received nourishment for the journey through that hardness and those difficulties that may come. We never intended to complete that journey on our own. It is to the Father, through him, in him, with him. And he provides this for us to nourish us. That's why it is the symbols of food and drink. But with the particular struggle in this journey of the fight against sin, it does so easily beset us and come upon us. It tells us, therefore, of the great, great consequence of sin that has put Christ on the cross. It's that great that he has done it to provide the answer, the solution, the escape, the salvation, the deliverance, the redemption. Wonderful words, aren't they? Think about them today. This the Lord's Day. We will turn to Psalm 40. I think you mostly have your books with you. Psalm 40. And it's a psalm where, way back in those years long ago, the writer speaks of the wonders you have done, O Lord, how many and how great they are. Your plans for us are far beyond our power to number or declare. We will sing Psalm 40. It's on page 50, starting at verse 1 through to the verse mark 8. Six stanzas. And we will stand to sing, remain standing also for a closing prayer and a benediction. So Psalm 40. To the praise of God, I waited long upon the Lord. He heard my cry and turned to me. Let's stand to sing.
I waited long upon the Lord. He heard my cry and turned to me. He raised me from the slimy pit and crossed the mud. He pulled me free.
Unto you for your great blessings of the day. We give thanks for the day, your day, when we can remember the resurrection, Lord, but a Lord who was risen from the dead because of our sin, dead to deliver us from sin, taking upon him the curse and the wrath of God. But a Lord, that he has victory, we rejoice in that, but we pray that you would cause us each one to think upon his majesty, the reality that he lives, but the reality also that he is coming again, that all things will be transformed, but that our lives, O Lord, may continue into the very presence of God. May each one of us hold fast and firm. Keep us, we pray, through the days ahead. Part us with your blessing then for this morning's worship. Guide us in all that we do and cause us to have open ears to hear your guiding voice, that we would walk in the way. And this we ask, O Lord, through Christ Jesus our Lord, and all for his sake. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Can I just have a word, especially for the sake of visitors? I did omit to mention earlier that we do have tea and coffee available just now. The children get a cool drink on this side and they have their Sunday school in here, so we need to mainly move out the other side where we get coffee and I think some goodies to go with it. So we'd like to welcome you to that as well. And if you can sign your name as a visitor in our book, that would be wonderful as well.